Shit.
No, where's the pants here?
Why are you recording?
The funny part is, what? Mike's going to edit that to be in like the cold open of the podcast.
I don't also, wear, also I don't wear the she pants. Reminds me a lot of me.
Yeah, I know. Like, even the color of shirts is weird.
Woo, I mean, yeah. Like a...
You are listening to Pacific Beer Chat. We are a collective of West Coast beer bloggers sharing our opinions on events, issues, and well-crafted brews. We discuss both local and international issues and aim to educate and entertain. We are a part of the Hopped Up Network.
On this week's episode, Carnell gets a group of influencers and bloggers together after the Coquitlam Beer Festival. They talk about what they liked about the festival, and then they go into some real big tangents about art and craft beer. If you'd like to check out the first take of this episode, you'll have to become a Patreon, as it is a Patreon exclusive. So there is a Patreon exclusive episode 44, and then this proper episode 44 will start. Before we start, though, here is a word from the Hopped Up Network.
If you are looking for more beer podcasts just like the one you're listening to right now, then head on over to hoppedupnetwork.com. We are a podcast network focused on our local craft beer communities. Here's a quick example of one of the many podcasts you will find.
Buffalo, the industrial powerhouse of the early 20th century. The grain elevators now stand silent on the shores of the Great Lakes, casting their shadow on the City of Light. A city known for blizzards, chicken wings, and Super Bowl losses, where even the natural magnificence of Niagara Falls can't help but magnify the rusted-out shell of a once-great city. Not anymore. Buffalo is a city on the rise again. New industry, green spaces, waterfront development, and the revival of Buffalo's proud brewing past are building the new Buffalo. With over 25 local breweries open in the last decade, Buffalo has an amazing brewing community. Join me as I talk to local brewers about making great beer. Sometimes we talk about the 716, and sometimes we talk shop to help you brew better. Find us at WNY.beer or on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at WNYBrews.
All right.
I feel crowded.
So this is the Coquitlam Beer Festival podcast. We all just visited. We all just had a fairly good time, at least. Or a good time.
Fairly good time.
That's right. Fairly to great good time.
I had an excellent
time. We got a beer crack happening right now. Go.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Guys. You're spilling. Sink. That was beautiful.
Fine piece of audio. All right, so... Craft Beer Festival. The coolest thing about this place is that it's, and we've talked about this before, but I'm sure we can hit on it again, is just that it's tokenless. It's a nice change of pace, I should say. It's not in every occasion, but for me at least, it was a nice change of pace to not have to think about tokens. But the thing that really caught me and the thing that I really enjoyed was that it was a craft beer festival, and it's a broad term craft beer festival. This craft beer festival in particular was... It was draft mostly, but then they had a whole cask section. And we all know casks, you can just throw some draft beer in a cask and then add whatever you want to it. But it was nice to have the option. And I haven't seen those two sort of brought together in the way they did it before. But it was nice to see a lot of different breweries in Coquitlam, especially Lupulo. And one I'm drinking right now, drinking. No, I'm just,
what are you eating, drinking?
It's
right
barley.
Now?
I mean, it's a subjective term, right?
Is eating that? Can I ask? Because I don't know. Is that how you pronounce their
Lupulo?
Lupulo, not Lupulo.
Well, I'm a native Italian speaker, so I.
So you should.
No,
say
I wasn't saying that because I thought it was wrong. I'm actually asking because I don't know.
I only say that because it was total jest. I have no idea how to speak Italian.
I think it's Lupulo.
Bafadio. He is waving his hands. Very, very hard right now. It's
Lupulo!
Lupulo!
And I should probably take the opportunity to introduce everyone here. So it's me, Carnell from Brewart Inlet. We've got Vanity Beer Girl, and your first name is?
Sarah.
Sarah, because I totally didn't forget.
Obi-Wan Kenfudi, who is?
Obi-Wan Kenfudi.
Who's also,
but more recently, the FV Beer King.
All right.
Fraser Valley Beer King, Ryan.
And then we've got, was it Hop? What's your new program?
Beer Raider.
The Beer Raider?
Yeah, it's still the Beer Raider program. But your new thing is?
The Beer Raider.
The Beer Raider.
You're the Beer Raider, but you're also, you're pushing a new program.
The Craft Co-Hop.
Craft Co-Hop. The
Craft Co-Hop, where...
Craft Co-Hop and Co.
And Co.
And Co.
You know what? That actually works.
Craft Co.
And Co.
Do you feel like Enco?
You're not the Co. she's got her own handle.
What if she wants to be the Co?
This is Britt Bailey.
Britt Bailey.
Can find
Britt Bailey. Literally, she has a lot about beer.
I have nothing to do with beer. I know about theater. So I will speak
about beer.
I will speak to Art Collective later.
I just claim to know more.
Too many voices. Ready, go.
And I am Bruce Babes Benny. I like beer as well.
And knows more than Carnell.
Yeah.
Oh!
I'm not going to say that out loud, but I mean to my friends.
Yeah. That's an editing feature.
Yeah. No, that has to stay in.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways.
So yeah, I really enjoyed the aspect that we also had a cast corner, pins, firkins, types of different beer. But would anybody else like to speak to it?
Well, as far as the festival is concerned, again, it's a far shot from or far cry from everything that we've dealt with festival wise. You go to something where you have a token system where you buy tokens, you run out of tokens, you buy more tokens, you keep going. This is one of the ones where you have a limited amount of time, 2.5 hours, to drink as much as you possibly can. So you grab a couple of different crowds. You want the ones that can drink as much as they can in 2.5 hours. Slash, do you want to actually taste the beer? Right?
Exactly.
So for me, it was a really good festival because, again, I went directly to the breweries that I wanted to taste. And I was really happy about the ones that I did go to because, again, there was stuff that I'm not necessarily going to get my hands on in the commercial scene. So, again, it was a really good festival. 2.5 hours, you have so much time to get it done, and then you get on with the rest of your day.
You said your scene, because Freight FV Beer King.
The FV Beer King.
So what is your scene?
My scene. So, again, I'm from...
FV aren't just FV. Words from the letters from the alphabet, are they?
The Fraser Valley.
These are my favorite consonants.
So, being from Mission, of all places, sort of thing, I don't have a lot of access, again, for beer festivals in my area. So, again, I have to kind of branch out from the Fraser Valley to actually get into a beer festival scene. This one being relatively close, the Fresh Hop Festival in Abbotsford is probably one of my favorites because end of September, usually great weather, a fantastic number of breweries that are there, all doing something fresh hopped for the festival itself. But outside of that, I really have to kind of branch out from the Fraser Valley to actually get to. So this one being relatively local in Coquitlam, is only an hour away.
this is
only.
Only.
Yeah, to hitch up my horse real early.
Mission scene.
I appreciate your
Fraser Valley.
Oh yeah, I was
going to
say Candor or
angle.
Canter.
We canter on our horses.
Canter, yes, exactly.
Yes. It's bouncier.
Equestrian humor.
Slightly. Someone's ridden a horse. Canter.
All the way here.
I thought that was charming chatter. That's what I thought canter was.
It sort of is. I mean, like
that's
a horse.
That's candor.
Candor, exactly. Candor versus canter.
Canter is similar.
But
I feel like this is going on way too far.
Yeah, let's stop.
Let's,
beer!
Let's trot to the next conversation point.
Yeah, good job.
I put candor here.
Let's canter over to our beers that we're tasting. What are we tasting?
Yeah.
So right now I am tasting something from Collective.
Woo!
Oh yeah.
Collective Art. And do you have anything to say about this?
Just by the
what
way,
is Collective Art?
We are drinking beer from the Coquitlam Beer Festival.
Yeah.
Right? So
all of it was amazing.
We're just not randomly drinking beer. Mm-hmm. We're actually discussing beer that we had recently.
Stuff that we tried at the festival.
Can
so
I ask you
stuff.
Which one you have in your hand?
This is, it's an ice cream cone. What does that mean?
No.
But that's
it's a Hemisphere IPA.
Is that the one with the, wasn't there one with Himalayan salts or something?
That was
said?
The Goza.
Oh, okay.
I think this is the
Northeast. So that's the one I had,
no,
and it was really good.
Nope.
I thought it was really good. Which we don't have at the table.
All of their beers, I tried most of them when I was there. They were all great.
Yeah.
And what is cool about them is that every single beer that they have, they ask artists to create images and submit them. And then they pick out of all of the submissions, which are many. There are many, many submissions, and they pick the best ones and they put them on their cans.
And coasters too, right?
And coasters. So all of their cans and coasters are beautiful. These beautiful art pieces, which are great because people will...
And funky and...
Yeah, so funky and like beautiful art. So people who are into art will look at these cans and coasters and see these artists, and some of these artists are getting known because of these beers.
Yeah, it's the woman that I was speaking to about it was, I think what they're doing is really amazing because they're mm-hmm. working with, they're consciously aware of helping artists and not taking advantage of artists and helping them work, which is like, you know, doing singing and doing theater, like it's something that we're faced with all the time. Do we have to give our work for free?
Yeah.
So this is, to me, amazing.
Not only are they doing art, but their beer tastes great. Like, it's yeah. such great beer.
Well, but it's so visible, too. Yeah. Like,
it's
beautiful. To me, like, I think that there are probably a lot of people like me out there that would love to have art on their walls, for example, that couldn't go and can't necessarily even afford to purchase the art that they want.
Yes.
But they're getting exposed to the work of these artists via a beer can.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah.
You know, I think that's amazing. Yeah.
And I think it's something that's so hot right now, like us being...
Hansel.
You know, that's so hot right now.
So hot right now. They're like the Hansel of craft beer. Yeah. Seriously.
But I think it's amazing that they're conscious of that.
Yes. Yeah. Struggling artists and it's like knowing that there are so many talented people and having this sort of thing where... Like I have one of my best friends is an artist and he's like, if I could get my... art on a beer can, that would be like it for me.
He wants to be the Owen Wilson
beer. Yeah. Right? He's like, that would be it for me, Banny, if you could do that for me. And I'm like, I can't do that for you.
There was one of the coasters that she showed me. Like, I'm going to go home, and I think we took one of them, but the robot.
Ribbit.
Michael, is it Dufferin? Michael Dufferin or something?
No.
Hold on, let me look.
We call him Mikey Duffs now.
They're all I'm sorry. It's Matt
Duffin.
Matt Duffin. And yes, so Mike loves robots. So I'm going to totally look up this artist's work. And
oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, so cool.
Anyway,
well, I think it's a platform. And what I was saying before, like being on Instagram, well, pretty much every day, most of the day, like a lot of us are. I see so many cool labels. And I find myself commenting about how cool the label is. More than how awesome the beer looks or how often how awesome the shot is. And there's so much label art that's getting attention. And this is such a cool platform for artists because, you know, being married to one, especially living in Vancouver, artists struggle. Yeah, it is a plug.
No, but there's nothing
the best.
This is a plug
different
for all artists. It's
a different media.
Is they live a passionate life.
Yeah.
And it's literally a choice because it is not, unless you make it big, it is not a hugely profitable life. Yeah. And they deserve so many different platforms that they can to show their art, express themselves. You know, it's...
But it's also, you have to give yourself to a platform too.
Yeah.
And that can be challenging in itself, is that you as a theater actor, again, you have a platform that you apply yourself to.
Quite literally a platform.
Called a stage.
Elevated above.
In the biz, call it a stage.
In the biz.
Okay, a medium. Let's go with a medium.
But you need to get more metaphoric.
You have to apply yourself to a medium, right?
Yeah.
So again, if you have an art that you apply to a medium sort of thing, yeah, you might do well in one platform or one medium, right?
Yeah.
But again, if you can expand the mediums that you're getting into, and this is one of those things that you give yourself over to, again, you get more exposure. And that's the biggest one. And I'm not talking about that kind of exposure, Mike.
No, but it's a great point, and I mean, like, I think there's a lot of people who consume beer and probably like beer, and will in the same hand say like,
I wouldn't say beer, I'd say craft beer.
Craft beer.
Yeah, not Budweiser.
If you're open to, again, multiple varieties of craft beer, you're going to be open to multiple varieties of, again, mediums as far as artwork, as far as platforms, as far as whatever you want to call it.
But we think of art as a luxury.
Yeah.
And I would disagree with that yeah. entirely. That the whole idea of art as a luxury. Mm-hmm. If we're going to talk about beer, I think craft beer is also an art. Yep. I think many things.
Of course.
Anything that we elevate to that level can become an art. And I think we far too often think of things arts as
you
luxury.
You think about a Picasso painting, right?
As a luxury.
It's a little bit of paint on a piece of canvas, right?
But
again, you elevate it to the point where it's worth millions of dollars. It's still some paint.
This is opening up a whole. Oh! I think you should get interesting.
But you have the talent to be able to do that.
If somebody has a talent like Picasso does paint a beautiful painting that many people enjoy, then it's okay.
But beyond that, art has a function.
Yeah.
Art has a function within society, and that function is not, I wouldn't nail it down to any one function either.
No.
I mean, you look at something like TransLink, and this is something that always bugs me about people, is they'll say, what the hell is TransLink? They're building, they're building a $1 billion SkyTrain line, and they're allocating $4 or $5 million to public art. And I'm like, we are allocating. We should double it. We should double it to $10 million with the public art, and we should also have, all through the summer, like random shows that just show up and do theater or whatever their art is. And there's a very specific reason to that, because you can very quickly link public art to public well-being.
Yeah, we're totally on tangents here.
We are, but
it's
not really
a tangent though, but it directly correlates to craft beer.
Okay, and I appreciate that.
No, I understand that completely, because art and craft beer are subjective. They are totally.
I think it was like getting right on the end. Like, I totally get what you're saying, and I agree with it. But I think you guys were like in that conversation, getting right on the edge of like. Trying to define what art is, and that's impossible.
I don't want to define
just
what
like
art
I think I think you can't define what craft beer is either.
No. It's in the eye
except
of the
for
beer
that
holder.
Or sorry no I should
yeah. it's, seriously it's the eye of the beer holder. It's the eye of the beholder. It doesn't matter if it's art, if it's beer, whatever. It's the person who is appreciating what is set out there is either going to appreciate it or not.
100%.
One of the two. So how do you appeal to
the masses.
The masses, but again, the majority of
you
don't have to. And that's the thing. If you want to break away from that, you essentially break the mainstream. You break the mold, right? So again, as far as collective arts is concerned, they're allowing people to break the mold.
They're letting
people come out.
This is my art.
I'm going to put it with a beer, right? Okay, fantastic beer. And then we release it to the masses, right?
I have to go back on what I said, though. Actually, I think, going back to beer, I think that craft beer is different than that, actually. Mm-hmm. I think that, talking about appealing to the masses and all that kind of stuff, I think what to me, in my definition of what makes craft beer craft, generally small-ish business, mm-hmm. A focus toward community. Mm-hmm. And, I think... things like this, initiatives like, I'm really sorry, what is the name?
This
collective,
help
me.
Yes, the
collective art, is that what they're
called? Collective art.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. Still, today was the first time I'd heard of them, so my apologies.
Me too, it's okay.
But that is community.
They're
Ontario.
Collective art. Okay, so I think, and it's not unusual, like Dones does the same, right? Dones does...
beautiful art,
Same thing, right? Beautiful. So these initiatives... And relationships with food and craft artisans and stuff like this. And this is what to me makes this industry appealing.
It's more than
different than
it is.
This is
the macro.
This is I've had this conversation so many times, and it's more than it's beer. It's craft. Craft is a movement in its own. Mm-hmm. Yes. And for me. And argue with me if you disagree.
No.
But craft is taking back community.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We, our demographic.
Well, you think about it.
Is
craft,
not
craft beer is an art.
Yeah.
Yes,
we're not about large corporations.
You can't say are. You have to say whose demographic you're talking about.
Well,
they might.
No, I think we know. It's everyone's.
No, 25 to 35, let's say. But even before that, 35 and younger.
That puts me out of the
picture.
Well, whatever.
Oh, he's out.
People that look
Obi-Wan's
younger than 35. That's a compliment.
Yeah, what are you screaming?
That's a coffee salt.
Just so you know, everybody thinks I'm younger than 35.
You do look it.
He's
I don't know how old.
I thought you were definitely like 30.
Anyway.
I'm 38.
Really?
Yes. Sarah? No.
Jeez. Okay.
We'll edit this part up. So, okay.
25 to 45.
Okay. Demographically. Yes.
It's more of a mindset then.
It is. Thank you.
But this is the thing. It's we're done with giving our money to big corporations where we don't know where the hell our money goes.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, we want to support our community.
Yes.
Drink local. As you wear a BC craft beer.
Hashtag.
Yeah. Support BC craft. We know when we go into a brewery and we buy a beer at that brewery,
where that dollar
goes, that dollar is going back into that community.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
And that is the biggest thing. Like, I've always worked for small business and I've always supported small business because I believe in this so
much. The caveat to that is that, again, you have to be aware of where the beer is coming from, because a lot of the breweries now are getting bought up by major labels.
But so
that's what
I would say. I would say that's what the difference is between a craft beer industry.
Yeah.
And macro beer or a lot of other beer industries, period. And I would say that's why I think craft beer is so interesting. I study history, and I study a big part of that is political economy. Got some books on the shelf somewhere else.
But
the book
seems like a lot of words.
Yeah.
I'll give the gist of it. But the big thing is, as you say, like we this generation, and I don't want to say like it's the millennials or this or this. It's like, but generally,
I'm
more or less.
Craft beer appreciation.
People who drink craft beer, and I think a lot of people within that are, you know, probably within that age that are 20 to 40 years old right now, and that doesn't
mean
anything. we're all inclusive.
Sorry.
it's expanding too, right? Because we're exposing it to our parents.
But
and whatever,
idea,
right?
It is this post-consumerism piece, because prior to this generation, the idea was always, you give a dollar, you get as much, the best quality you can for that dollar. And quality was defined by efficiency.
Quality is huge. Right?
But now this generation has definitely widened that understanding of what quality means. Quality doesn't mean just what I get for my dollar. It means what the person who gets my dollar gets and the person who before my dollar got.
Yeah.
So it's before and after, and that's a big piece. And like I say, the reason I think craft is at the leading edge is because that's part and parcel of the product. It's not just the product you get as a consumer. Yeah. It's the product or the product of the product that the person who put the work into it before and the raw goods and the person after who gets your money. And that's a really important distinction. And we see it in some things like you can buy every once in a while, like, I don't know, you'll look online, I have a bit of extra money, I'm going to spend a little more on the shoes I buy. I'm going to think about where the shoes I come from. Mm-hmm. Or I'm going to go to the grocery store. You know what? I have a little bit more money in my bank account than I thought I did.
So
I'm going to try and buy the eco version.
I'm going to spend $6 on a 6-pack.
I'm going to buy the free range eggs and not the regular.
$18 on a 4-pack of quality.
That's right. Yeah. But the significant distinction is that never happened before. In the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even the 2000s. We did 90s, not have those.
90s, it started. I think that the height, like at the pendulum swinging the opposite way, because
in the
80s, 90s, it was the height of, you know, when our parents were, you know.
And then you have to start looking at the generational gap, and you have to start looking at
the corporations were at their height, right? So it's the pendulum has swung with our generation.
I will happily speak to the 80s. The 80s were the best decade of my life. It was the best 8 months of my life.
What?
In 89, baby.
Shit where you want. People came
up
over you.
Everybody loved me. I was cute as a button, I was told.
Pictures
or
it didn't happen.
What year were you born?
I was born
in 89.
May have been
I'm 90. I don't even know.
What?
I'm not 80s. Oh, I don't know.
10 years prior to you. Yeah.
But
I didn't think that.
Here's the weird
thing.
Speak to the 90s.
No, no. Here's the thing. Is that
you want to be old? Okay.
He is touting the 80s. And you were born in?
89. Which you would...
I was born in 79.
And I was 80.
And she was 80. I would go with the 90s. As kind of the kind of
and I would think the 90s.
Oh no, it is. It is. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm saying
I was
that
born
80s.
In 90s, so I don't really know. But my parents were all about craft beer.
That's good. I was born the same year as craft beer in BC. 84, bitch.
Whoa, sorry. I should have interrupted you.
No, I'm just wondering if we need to make you a badge or something. But just to get back on track.
JK.
And Pacific Beer Chat, I bring this up all the time, but I think it is interesting because I think craft beer is very much on the leading edge of this idea that we don't just care about the product, we care about where the product came from and where that product is going. Mm-hmm. And that's an important distinction, and I think a lot of us are making it now, and whether it be like 20 to 30 or 20 to 40 or 25, or like whatever number you want to put on, people are buying, care about.
I just have to say, like, regardless, the last 5 minutes that we just started yelling, sort of thing. We're crossing a ton of boundaries, right? Because everybody thinks
we're all friends.
We're all friends, but we all think that we're of different eras and different ages.
Yeah.
Right? But we're all standing here doing exactly the same thing.
Yes.
We're standing here talking
and
about
we're
craft
all
beer.
Yeah. And we just
all
didn't
friends.
Know how old each other
There's,
were, really.
It's like, I don't want to be your
baby. Oh, Batty, your baby. I didn't know you're a baby. I don't want to hang out with you.
Gap. That's standing here right now talking about craft beer.
It is. Because we all appreciate it.
And we all appreciate it. And we all, like, we're all good friends.
Yeah.
We all hang out all the time.
You know what?
Like,
and to bring it back home, I mean, we're this is the idea behind this podcast is supposed to be the Coquitlam Beer Festival. And to bring
let's
it
back,
back
to that.
I mean,
yeah.
supposed to be.
Let's get back to that.
The beer festival was great.
But if I can speak to one more thing that I think they did well, I don't know if this is intentional, but you walk into that place, I saw people who were 19.
Yeah.
I saw this kid who I thought
Thank
was definitely
you.
15.
Yes.
I saw an old.
I saw.
They were IDing at the door.
Yes.
It was me, right?
Wait, you know what I mean?
You know what? Actually, on transit on our way to the Westwood
Plateau.
Yeah, thank you.
Which beautiful venue.
Beautiful.
Yes. Well, I could see Mount Baker.
Yeah,
that was neat.
Sure.
Too far from transit, but yeah.
Yeah. A little bit too far.
That's my thought. But on the transit on the way. There were a couple behind us that had a 20-year-old daughter, and she had mapped out how they were going to get there.
Perfect.
And they don't take transit.
Yep.
She said, right?
Yeah.
I haven't taken transit in 20 years. Like, they were on the bus. Like, I think she said the last year they did the same thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, they had mapped it all
so
out.
She's a liar.
And it was what a liar.
We are trying to build a narrative for this podcast.
Sorry.
And she's doing a great job.
I know. She's better than I am.
Yeah. Well.
That's the whole point.
I know.
Right?
Okay,
anyway,
sorry.
We connected with this couple behind us.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, probably 20, I don't know.
10 years.
15, something like that, years older than
They're
us.
They're at least 40.
And they were there doing the same thing. And actually, what was really awesome, they were right behind us in one of the lineups. What was that new brewery that we were checking out? Started with an S.
Smuggler's Trail.
Thank you.
Smuggler's Trail.
Great beer. I liked their beer. No?
Smuggler's Trail?
Yeah.
I
liked their beer.
I liked it. Anyway, I liked the bitter, which is what I had. But they were right behind us, and of course Mike's doing all this stuff on the phone, and they're behind us, and she's got a notepad. She's got a notepad, and she's writing everything down.
I wish I had a notepad.
Yeah, and
like,
she's like, I could just do it faster.
Yeah,
and I feel the same way. I'm like, I don't bring it with me because I don't think to because I have a phone. But like, it's such a generational thing. Like, it's she's like, I got my notepad and pen. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
There's a certain segment of people who will read these studies. I'm one of them. And one of the ones that comes in, there's this thing called the Vancouver Institute. And Van City, which is a credit union. And I'm not trying to build a Van City, but they're my happen to be my bank.
They are awful.
But the cool thing about...
Do you want to know the truth about Van City?
Oh, okay. We have to stop recording right now.
I'm an anti-neoliberal, so...
TD girl.
So, anyways, long story short, there was a study by these guys, and they were talking about how, and this has been well documented, there's a really... People perceive this part of the world, the metro of Vancouver, to have a real lack of community.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest purveyors of community happens to be craft beer. And like this festival brought people from every decade, it seems, together.
Yeah.
Craft beer does that. You walk into a brewery... you look at the tables, you're going to see about 5 different decades worth of people.
I love it.
And here's
my caveat to that. Again, the medieval adage was you live by the sword, right? You live and die by the sword, and Nordics, whatever, okay? Now it's you live by the phone. You live and die by your phone. You either are on it 90% of the time and you have no idea what's going on outside of that because of what's going on your phone, or you actually live... And then you put it on your phone.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Right, so you live by your phone.
I think that's a great way to end this one. So let's kill it. Would you go back to this festival next year?
Absolutely.
Yes. Yes.
It was
fun.
The food was great. The beer was great. I had so much fun. The brewery.
More time.
I love the food aspect
to
it. Yeah.
I think that
food
even just
was fantastic.
Talking to the people that were presenting the beer, the people from the breweries. Mm-hmm. Everybody had time for us. Like, they were all talking to us, telling us about the beer. Like, I just felt like I had such a great experience. Like, what you want when you go to a brewery is for someone who's working there to tell you about the beer that they've made and be passionate about it, right? And all of the people that were there that I talked to were super passionate about the beer. And I loved
and
that.
And could talk to you about the beer. That's the biggest one. I've been to festivals where it does not happen. You go to the booth where you have the beer, and they have no idea the story behind it.
Yeah, specifically, I talked to East Bend Brewery, Backcountry. I talked to The Collective and Dones, specifically, and Strange Fellows.
I didn't see Dones there either.
Dones was there?
What?
Was it Dones? I talked to them.
Dones was there.
Lupolo was there, and I had a great conversation with Lupolo.
Lupolo was so, so good. Mm-hmm. Everybody that I talked to that I actually got to talk to about the beer was so informative and had so much to say about the beer. It was a great festival, and we had there was a lot of good food there too. I don't know if you guys tried clam chowder, the beef something,
their curry,
Guinness
butter
beef,
chicken.
So good. So I had a lot of fun.
Amen.
All right. Okay. Well, good podcast, guys.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to patreon.com/pacificbeerchat. We'd love if you would help support us if you think our content gives you some value. You can pitch in as little as a dollar, and we'll mention you on the website. $5 gets you a mention live on the show, and it'll also get you some bonus content we're creating every month. There's also some different levels where you can get stickers, shirts, hats, and that kind of thing. So if you like our show and you want to help us out and help us make better content and upgrade our equipment, check out patreon.com/pacificbeerchat.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Find our show on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, YouTube, or your favorite podcast site or app at Pacific Beer Chat. Please leave us a review, as it helps spread the word about the show and helps new listeners find our episodes. You can find Pacific Beer Chat on social media at Pacific Beer Chat on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Send us an email at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com with any feedback or comments. We'd love to hear from you. You can also find us at pacificbeerchat.com. We are part of the Hopped Up Network, an international craft beer podcast network. If you enjoy this craft beer-focused show or any other craft beer-focused shows, check out hoppedupnetwork.com. And thanks to Tim of craftbeertourist.com for designing our brand new logo. Thanks to Kevin Ems of Conundrum for allowing us to use the song Lothian in the intro to the podcast. You can find Conundrum on Instagram and Facebook at Music of Conundrum. You can also find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. To play us out, here is the full version of Lothian. Cheers. I leave.
reflecting on that path. All of my marches through the dark. I found out so much then. So much more than I can't know. I wanted you so badly by my side.